And Smash, well, good morning, and thank you for joining us. It is Morning Drive. We are off and running here on a Friday. ESPN 102.5 The Game, broadcasting live from Kitchen Notes inside of the Omni Nashville Hotel. Nick Hale, Braden Gall, Derek Mason, and the return, the much highly anticipated return of the Constable, Chase McKay. Boys?
What is up, my people? Good to see you.
I think that's... That's better than Derek screaming like a warbler into the microphone at 6 in the morning. So I like that better.
Very true.
I want to wake up Nashville. Nashville, what the heck is going on? It's Friday.
Do you think people have moved on from – like I wonder emotionally how the city – how quickly the city moved on from the defeat on
– It's a great question.
What day is today? Friday? on Wednesday night. I moved on so quickly analytically because, like you said, C-Mace is like, well, I'm the analyst and there's no analysis. I'm moved on. You have to sort of wipe it away, throw the tape away, like we always say with cliches with the team. But I wonder how the city has moved on because we're so focused on the NFL draft. You're going to lose sight of the fact that you could have a Game 7 in Nashville next Wednesday night, the night before the first round of the NFL draft. Obviously, you could take care of business before that. You also could lose the series before that. So I just wonder what people are feeling right now going into this weekend with the Preds and how they played on Wednesday night.
Totally a legit question, and I was thinking this as well. You know, you go to tomorrow, and it'll be a 2 p.m. start. So we've already seen in this series kind of having that Wednesday night start, the later start. Then we've had the more normal start at 7 o'clock. You had mentioned, game one, a little bit off on the outside, less kids, school night.
Yeah, sure, certainly.
Atmosphere. Yeah. Like, tomorrow's a 2 o'clock game, so technically an early weekend start. I wonder how fans will be going into that.
Yeah, that'll be interesting, too. I'm going to try to take the daughter because it's actually a time where she can go to the game, and I'd love to be able to take her if I can, if I can manage nap time. Really, nap time is the biggest obstacle to getting to the game tomorrow, is managing nap time. She gets really cranky in the evenings if she doesn't get a nap, much like Nick and Chase and
correct
and Derek. But
I'm never cranky.
Sure, buddy. But it is interesting to see what the crowd will look like tomorrow. I have a feeling, and again, some of this stems from the original question, right? How are people responding to the loss? Not just to a loss, but to a butt-kicking. How do people respond? Do they come back with fire and fury like we expect the team to come back with? Are they more subdued because they're nervous? Like, just what's it going to feel like? And I have a feeling if it's nice, I haven't checked the weather. The weather's a little wet right now. I think I haven't checked the weather forecast for tomorrow.
It's going to be like today.
But if it's like today, that could dampen down the experience outside of the building. I think the great thing about tomorrow is if you've got kids, you've got an opportunity to get them to the game. And that is a really special even for me, even if I don't go, and I may not go use my credential and go cover the game tomorrow because I know my daughter wants to watch the game, even if she can't go. And so the chance to just sit down and watch it, I think, is a special time with your kids. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I don't know what the crowd will look like. I think it'll be packed. I think it'll be excited. I think it'll be like every other playoff game at Bridgestone. It'll be full to the brim and very loud and very ready to go. But will there be nervous energy? If a couple shifts early in the game don't go their way, does the building get a little quieter?
Yeah.
Are they puckered all the way up to the 303? Like, how does it feel in there? It'll be interesting to see how that works.
Series two games apiece. Game five tomorrow. Puck drops at 2 o'clock. Pregame, of course, at 1 here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. I would say, yes, obviously sold out, packed to the brim. I think it'll be jacked. It's a pivotal game five. This could very well swing the series one way or the other. But I do believe, to your point, if you get off to a slow start, couple of shifts, or, God forbid, Dallas takes a 1-0 lead 5 minutes into the game, maybe off of a power play like we saw in game four, you might hear a pin drop in there.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And
very fragile psyche.
Yeah, and I don't like even if you're playing with a lot of confidence, and game six against Winnipeg last year, for example, you go up there and you dominate 4-0. I think you came back and people were super jacked up for that game seven, obviously. But if Winnipeg scores early, the crowd gets quiet. Even if you're confident, the crowd can be quieted very quickly. So it is about how the first 5 to 10 minutes go. If they can play the first period like game one, even though they lost game one, if you can play the first period like you did game one, where it felt like everybody was shot out of a cannon, everybody was on, all cylinders, use every sports cliche you can to describe how hard a team is playing. If they play with that first period energy in game one, I think they carry it through 60 minutes. I don't think that there's this, like, two-period lapse. Like, but what I can see, to your point about the fragility, he's very fragile. If something does go wrong early, I don't know. Two goals, I don't know if they rebound. One goal, they can get back into the game, not a big deal. Normally, you'd say two goals isn't that big of a lead. You've seen this team come back from a two-goal lead. I don't know if this particular mental state of this particular group of people is ready for that. So I do think the first eight to 12 minutes is really, really critical.
So we will have all of your coverage tomorrow. It'll start from 9 to 11 in the morning with the Chase McCabe Show, Preds Ooh. Extra from 11 to 1, and then the pregame at 1 o'clock.
Are you going game by game tomorrow, Chase, on your show and just picking Titans wins and losses?
You know, I might do that. Probably we'll look at that, including the preseason, compared to previous preseasons as well. So,
actually, could you go back historically and look up all 20 years of their preseason record and compare it to how it turned out in the regular season? Because they got Philly, New England, Pittsburgh, and Chicago. Very difficult preseason schedule for the Titans.
Yes, how many snaps will Ryan Tannehill take on that first exhibition game?
Ooh, that's a good question.
On the minds of many Nashvillians.
On the first exhibition game?
That is correct.
Over under... Because Marcus will get what, a series?
Yeah.
Over under... Now it's turned into an actually interesting conversation to me.
14 and a half
snaps? We were joking. Yeah, I could see that. That's
14 and a half attempts.
That's three sets of downs, you know? Maybe two series is. I could see about 10, 15 snaps.
Who's the third string quarterback on this team right now? Is it
the kid they re-signed, Logan Woodside?
Whiteside? Wait, is that it? Whiteside?
Woodside.
Woodside.
Logan Woodside, yeah. I think he played in the AAF, didn't he?
Did he really?
I think so.
Yeah, he did. I don't remember which team, but no one else will either.
Still got a big hotel bill, probably. He's got a. Have you guys seen how many lawsuits have been filed against the AAF? Holy moly.
Yeah, kind of rightfully so. Everybody got the.
They got the shaft.
Yeah, everybody got the. What's the old adage? They pull out the from underneath you? The rug?
Well, they pull the rug out from underneath you.
Or the tablecloth?
But the city can't see that Nick is grabbing the tablecloth.
That's correct. We're not simulcasting.
They do pull, in fact, the rug out from underneath you.
Yes.
Yes.
Now, Chase, you're back from Dallas. You were with the team all week long. Thoughts going into tomorrow? You think the fans will be jacked or nervous? How's the team going to handle this? How are they handling it from what you've seen?
They were upset the other night, and they should have been. You know, I'll give them credit that they took it like men and talked to us after a game like that. And Ryan Johansson was one of the guys that we spoke with, and you could tell he was irritated at how it went. But, you know, it's just one of those things. I think they will be ready to play. It's not that I didn't think they were in game four. I just think they ran into a situation where they gave up three power play goals very early in the game. And that's just, you're never going to come back from that. I think they'll be ready to go. I think the fans are going to be jacked up and ready to go. But as you guys were just talking about, if something goes wrong early, I think that's when people get nervous. So,
how much brisket did you consume?
That is the more important question. It wasn't
totally
a ton. It wasn't as much as I would like it to be, but you know, I'm going back this weekend, so I have another chance to get more brisket. But I did have some, and it was good.
Mm. All right, Predators fans, we will take your calls this morning, 615-737-1025, 737-1025. Are you jacked up for Game 5 tomorrow? Are you nervous? What's your confidence level? We'll take all of your calls this morning, 615-737-1025. We're loaded this morning. We've got Josh Ward. Butch Spearden's going to join us in the second hour. Jackie Redmond's going to be calling in from the NHL Network. So jam-packed the show this morning. Both Preds, Titans, a lot to get to.
Yeah, excited about all that stuff. I mean, Josh Ward, certainly we can dive into all the stuff that's taking place at UT. Little spring game talk, too. We have not had any chance to really dive into, like, what, seven or eight SEC teams had their spring game. The only time we've seen Tennessee play 11-on-11 all year, all spring, so we could talk with him. Butch Spiridon's going to be a ton of fun, a guy that is basically in charge of all the logistical layouts and structures and everything that go along with an event like the NFL Draft. So if you're worried about parking, if you're worried about road closures, if you're worried about how you should plan your week next week, because I think that's a really big topic next week on the show for us, is just how are people going to consume this NFL Draft beast coming up next weekend when you could have two Preds home games, you know, if they can finish off Dallas, you're going to have the Music City Marathon, or I guess it's called something different now.
The Rock and Roll Marathon.
The Rock and Roll Marathon.
In which Derek is participating.
Rebranding. And then
been that way for like 3 years.
But by the way, a Jimmy Buffett concert. I mean, the whole thing is a complete mess. How is the city going to handle all that? More importantly, I'm interested in how are the fans? What's their plan? Are you going to go first round? Are you going to go second round? Are you going to go third round? You go all 3 days? You got to break it up. I'm just curious as to what people are going to actually want to do. Like, my dad's all in on like noon on Thursday. He wants to be down there at noon on Thursday. So really excited to talk to Butch. He'll give us a lot of insight. And then, of course, Tron and Terry are great too as well.
Coming up later this morning, as you guys see in my hands, the Titans schedule has been filled out game by game, wins and losses. And I came to this conclusion relatively easily. Derek, that gesture is not appropriate. Thank you very much.
Any of that redacted over there?
No.
No, you're going to give us the full report?
Yes.
Okay.
You're not going to get bits and pieces. Nothing will be blacked out.
I just want to make sure we get the full report.
That is correct. We'll come back. Preds call 615-737-1025. And can a team as volatile as the Predators actually win a cup? We'll explain next here on Morning Drive, live from Kitchen Notes, the Omni Nashville Hotel on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. It is great to have you in here on a Friday. We are live this morning from Kitchen Notes inside of the Omni Nashville Hotel. Nick Hale, Braden Gall, Derek Mason, the Constable, Chase McCabe with you. 615-737-1025 is our number. Let's get some Preds calls. Josh Ward's going to join us, bottom of the hour. Let's start it off, and we're talking this morning, coming out of the game, Braden, you mentioned on Wednesday, the volatility of the series, the ups and the downs. How do we think people are responding, handling it? Have they let it go, and how will they react tomorrow is an interesting question.
Well, and I like your question about the volatility, because I think that actually should give Preds fans hope to some degree, because a volatile team means they can get real hot and get real streaky, and that's all you need right here in a three-game set with Dallas is to just get hot for a couple of games, and if you can just get hot for two games, you move on to the next round, then you worry about the next round when it comes. And so I think, and speaking of volatility, just look at that St. Louis-Winnipeg series. I turned the game off, and Winnipeg was up 2-0, so I don't know how they lost that game last night. So I think volatility can mean upside. It also can mean butt kickings like 5-1 happened the other night. So We sort of know this. That's what this team is. But if you want to look on the positive side, that means when they get hot, they can be very difficult to beat.
Your call, 615-737-1025. We started off this morning with Chad, who is in Nashville. Chad, you're on Morning Drive. What's up, bud?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
You got
it. So just from my standpoint as a fan, gazing tomorrow, for the watch party perspective, as someone who goes down just to have fun with a couple friends, 53 degrees is a high with possible rain after that showing on the other night. I think I'm going to take a hard pass and just kick back and watch this one from home so I can be embarrassed by myself.
There you go.
Can't blame it.
Well, I mean, they played yesterday, the other day, I don't blame you.
Hi, Derek.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? We're not going to get into that one.
welcome to the family.
Yeah, welcome.
I think we could,
as Billy
though.
Sims once said.
We could, in theory, air it all out if we want to. Everything is content.
Let's not do it. Because I don't think it was anybody's fault.
Chase just took responsibility.
Yeah, okay.
I'm falling on the sword.
I think we should blame
it's necessarily my sword to fall on. I'm just falling on it.
I think we should blame Kevin Kyle because it is, in fact, Kevin Kyle's last day with the show.
Yeah.
And with
so we can blame him.
And he's leaving, so we can just hang everything around his neck.
Exactly. He don't care.
And then he can be gone and not care at all about any of this stuff.
Do his business.
As Johnny Cochran said to his associate when he didn't file the briefs in the People versus O.J. Simpson, every now and then you got to fall on the sword for your client.
Yeah.
Today's your day, brother.
Damn, Nick. Seriously?
You like that?
At first I thought it was weird, and now I'm incredibly impressed with it.
I'm done with you, Nick.
So's my wife. Join the club.
Welcome to the family. No, you know, I understand why the caller felt that way. You know, not wanting to, you know, waste your gas, your money, and your time to watch a team that is so up and down, so inconsistent right now. But I don't expect the same, you know, display of hockey that I saw the other night. So,
yeah, I agree
with
that.
I mean, come on down. Yeah, it's going to be 53 degrees and raining, but you're going to be inside. It's not like it's 53 and raining and you're going to be standing outside.
No, he's talking about being out. He's talking about being outside.
Oh, being outside. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, well, I understand. But, I mean, don't let.
If it's 55 and sunny, sign me
up.
Yeah,
sign you up. But that's my favorite weather. But don't let that game this, you know, put you in a position where you don't want to come enjoy the festivities. Now, if it's raining, I understand. I get it. But, I mean, they've been up and down. But I don't expect them to play like they did the other day.
We're really at a point where, like, if you were to go to – and I don't – I mean, I'm sure there's actually a Vegas line on the game. Mm-hmm. I'm sure, Nick, and you'll know it off the top of your head who's favored in this one. But I think if you were to just in general in life, we were betting with people, and I just said, hey – you know, what are the odds that this team comes out and dominates? What are the odds this team comes out and gets dominated? And they're probably even. Mm-hmm. Like, in reality, yeah. Over the course of 85 games or 86 games, whatever it is now, I think you can sit there and say, this team has just as good a chance to come out and play excellent, near-perfect hockey and have a great night and people celebrate and be going out on Broadway at 5:30 and going to dinner and going to honky-tonks and having a great time. That it's just as much likely as that's going to happen as it would if they get beat 4-0. So you can't argue about the entertainment value because you just have no idea what to expect from game to game.
615-737-1025. Let's go to James in Franklin. Not to be confused with James Franklin, the former Vanderbilt head coach. James, what's going on, buddy?
Not much, man. I was just going to call and comment on about their power play. My question is, why haven't the coaches done something different about the way the power play is structured? Since it has not been working, obviously. And that's a key part of the game you have to have working if you want to make a run at the cup. And getting into detail on that is, you know, you always got Philip Forsberg over there at the top left circle taking a one-timer shot, or you got Yossi pinching down taking a one-timer shot from the right top circle. Why don't we start taking some shots from the blue line and start crashing the net and try something a little bit different so it's not so predictable for Dallas? Because you know the coaches obviously see that. I mean, it's like the Music City Miracle. If we would have done that six times throughout the season, it wouldn't have worked in the playoffs to get us
totally
there.
Totally valid point.
So here's what I think we should do, because Chase has no answers. I have no answers. Derek has no answers. Nick has no answers. Kevin, Kyle, what would you do? Does your microphone work? What would you do to fix the power play?
Nothing.
Because I think at this point we should just be asking Kevin, Kyle.
He said nothing.
Because, like, what else is there to say? Like, I mean – Nick, handle. Give us the Chris
Mason.
What
does C-Mace say?
Yeah, give us the Chris Mason.
C-Mace said it's beyond analysis.
Yeah. And he's the analyst.
He's the analyst. Yeah. That's what his job is. He's giving analysis on the team and the different aspects of the team.
I think if you go out, just go out in the middle of Broadway at around, 4 o'clock when it's its busiest, maybe 9 and 4 o'clock in the 9 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the evening, somewhere
talking
around
today.
There. Yeah, today. Okay. Just go in the middle of Broadway.
With a megaphone.
Have a megaphone and stop everybody in their tracks and just say, what do we need to do about the power play? Who has answers? And I guarantee you, every answer that comes in is an answer we've already heard.
And that Lavi has probably tried.
And Lavi's already tried.
Yeah. I mean,
what's frustrating about it is you see Dallas, they've had their issues with the power play. They go on two of them Wednesday night. They score two goals in 5 minutes.
But it was puck luck, man.
And they made some adjustments, too. The coach said we made some adjustments. The problem is I would want to come in and say, see, look, the Dallas coach made adjustments. Why don't you make adjustments, Lavi? But Lavi has. He has changed things. And there's just no explaining it at this point.
But here's the thing. Dallas made adjustments. And say they come in game five, which is Saturday, and they have four power plays and they go 0-for-4. Then what? It's again, yeah. You can make all the adjustments you want, man. If it's like winning a lottery. You might hit it one time out of a million times you play.
You're gonna lose 200.
Exactly, but that doesn't mean because I switched it up now I won. No, it was just luck. And it goes that way with Dallas. They scored three goals on three power plays. That was damn luck. Seriously? Yeah, Pekka just had he played a bad game. They were bad in front of him.
Terrible defense.
It was just puck luck to me.
I think that's the other thing that we miss here. We talked a lot yesterday about how terrible the defense was in front of Pekka Rinne, and we're not putting most of the blame on Pekka. There's maybe a little bit of blame on Pekka, but for the most part, we blame the skating and the decision-making and the discipline or lack thereof for the start of that game. Well, here's the deal. Dallas doesn't make those mistakes. Dallas plays an extremely disciplined defensive hockey game. That's what they do every game. Like, the only way the Preds got a win in game two, had to go to overtime, right? Mm-hmm. Game three, you threw two pucks at the net that happened to go in because Ben Bishop allowed two easy goals. So it's not like they've sustained pressure on Dallas's defense at any point during the series. So Dallas doesn't make the same defensive mistakes. At least they have not in this series. And that's been the difference, is when they go on the penalty kill, we also have to just sort of, hey, the Predators have their issues, but also give credit to Dallas in that Dallas is one of the best penalty kills in the NHL, and that they play really great defense. Their defense hasn't made mistakes. Mm-hmm. The Predators' defense has taken bad penalties and made mistakes. So that's also led to Dallas scoring on the power play on Wednesday night. So it's all of it kind of coming together, and now they're, what, 1-for-25 in 9 games against Dallas this year on the power play. Eventually that has to change. I just want to see, here's what I want, the second you get into the zone, shoot the puck. I don't care if there's 6 guys in your way, if there's no guys in your way.
Just unload.
If it's a low angle shot, if it's a high angle shot, if it's a low danger chance or a high danger chance, I don't care. Put it on the net. Just throw it in the general vicinity of the net. It doesn't even have to be on the net. Just throw the puck at the net, because eventually one of those will bounce in.
Shoot your puck, man. Shoot your puck.
Shoot or shoot.
Yeah. What they do.
All right, we'll continue Preds calls throughout the morning at 615-737-1025. Up next, our normal Friday visit. We'll shoot it up to Knoxville, talk to our man Josh Ward from WNML. Busy week in volunteer country. We'll get the latest next here on Morning Drive, live from Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel. +628, welcome back in Morning Drive, ESPN 1025 The Game. We are live from the Omni Nashville Hotel this morning inside of Kitchen Notes as we send it up to Knoxville. Welcome in our man Josh Ward from WNML for his weekly appearance. Josh, good morning. How are you?
Hey, doing well. Great to be with you guys.
Good to have you. Obviously, a lot of news this week coming out of Knoxville, and most of it centered around Rick Barnes. And what I found fascinating was the way the national media kind of latched on to his commentary and his brutal honesty about, you know, if it wasn't for the buyout, I would be in Los Angeles with UCLA. But I didn't see a ton of negative reaction from a lot of Vols fans on Twitter. You're right in the center of it. Is that an accurate assessment, that most Vols fans did not get a little fired up over his commentary?
I think that is right, that most fans did not. Most fans were just glad that Rick Barnes decided to stay at Tennessee and believed after this big season that Tennessee had, and the last couple of seasons that Tennessee has been able to put together, that he deserved a raise. He deserved what it took to keep him, really, so that Tennessee would not lose him, so that Tennessee would not need to go through another coaching search. And at this time, I don't think fans looked at it and said it would be a good time to go through a search. Now, there have been some fans that have not been happy that he put that out there, even though I would say we kind of knew, and we talked about it on the radio last week before his press conference, hey, this is largely what happened here. UCLA did not come through with the entire buyout, and that should be pointed out as well. It's not that UCLA wasn't going to pay anything. It's they weren't going to cover all costs there. And also, Tennessee stepped up to keep him, because if Tennessee had said, we're not giving you a raise, he would be UCLA's coach as well. So I think the majority of fans, easily the majority of fans, are just glad that Rick Barnes decided to stay at Tennessee so that he can try to build on what he's done the last couple of years.
Yeah, Josh, you told me on your show on Wednesday, you said 75-25, excited that he stayed versus angry that he flirted and was honest. Is this a sign of growth and maturity for Tennessee Vol fans and Vol Twitter, or is it just a sign that they had a really good basketball team the last 2 years and something to cheer for?
We probably need to be careful, right, because any day anything can happen and things can come unhinged here very quickly in Knoxville. That's been the way. But, I mean, it is a sign, I think, that fans have latched on to more than just football as something that drives their interest, because the excitement level was genuine this year. And I think fans, they think about the experience they had, because this season did have some disappointments. They didn't win any championships in the SEC or make it past the Sweet 16, which was a major goal. But fans, they're thinking about the experience, the fun, the joy they had of watching a team that they really liked, and not only Rick Barnes, have they enjoyed hearing from him, and I think most appreciate the honesty that he's open and talks about things, and doesn't attempt to be secretive. He doesn't put everything out there. No coach should, but he's more honest than I think just about any are going to be. I don't know how many would have said what he did about the buyout. And then also the players within this program. I think fans looked at it and said, you know, if Rick Barnes doesn't come back, then we can go ahead and close the door on Grant Williams and Jordan Bone, and that's still going to maybe be a long shot on both of them. But you might say goodbye to Josiah James, the five-star wing player who's going to come in and help you go to the next phase of whatever's going to happen with Rick Barnes. So I think there was a sigh of relief aspect for most fans because they've seen enough coaching searches and they've seen Tennessee basketball not be so good. Just 2 years ago, they didn't make the NIT, and I don't think fans wanted to go back there, which they probably would have immediately if Rick Barnes had gone to UCLA.
We're talking with Josh Ward, WNML in Knoxville. Josh, we also talked a little about the impact it can potentially have later on in the season because, I mean, smart basketball people understand that when you lose, you know, at least 60% of your scoring, potentially, that your team is going to take a step back. Maybe not a huge step, but a step back. With what happened with Barnes, do you think this has the potential to come back up if indeed Tennessee finishes maybe fourth in the SEC, still get a bid to the tournament, but finishes fourth in the SEC standings or below that?
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt we could be talking about this again in the future because Tennessee fans do have a way of remembering. That's why maybe we also should put the hold button on this conversation and revisit here in 11 months or so. And if Grant Williams stays in the draft, if Grant and Jordan both stay in the draft, then Tennessee should absolutely take a step back, and it could be a pretty considerable step back considering the Vols just won 31 games, the most in school history, tied for the most. They would not be expected to do that, even with Josiah James coming in and some options they might be able to find in the grad transfer market or even through the high school ranks. So they should take a step back. Now, if they do and they still make the tournament, but they bounce out in the first round or the first weekend next year, I'm going to offer the reminder, while they lost those pieces, it's about what happens over the next few years. This is really, it is the final chapter of Rick Barnes. We've been saying that the last few years. We didn't know that there would be some kind of at least footnote to add in there. But this is his last run. So it is, to me, the conversation we're looking about, if we're looking at Tennessee basketball moving forward without Grant Williams especially, it's not only about what they do this upcoming season, but it's about the 2020 recruiting as well, where they have one really highly touted player named Corey Walker Jr. out of Florida who's committed, and they have other highly touted players who are considering Tennessee. And those guys are considering Tennessee because what has happened the last couple of years. And if the recruiting continues on the pace that it is, well, Tennessee's going to have a chance to win beyond this upcoming season. So fans should not be looking at just the next 12 months to judge Rick Barnes and bring back this conversation. But expectations are going to go up. And if we do extend past the next year, if we go to the next 2 to 3, 4 years, then fans are going to expect more championship contention, a championship at some point, and to make a run to the Elite Eight again or further. And that I do get because right now Rick Barnes is the third highest paid coach in college basketball. That's subject to change because other coaches can get raises. But when money goes up, expectations go up, especially when you kind of reset the bar yourself, which Rick Barnes did the last couple of years.
Josh, let's go to the spring game or whatever those are called now in college football, scrimmages essentially. But the first time you've had a chance to see them 11-on-11, did you learn anything? Did you take anything away that you didn't already know? Going to have a lot of young players playing. There's questions along both lines of scrimmage. You know, Garantano's more in control of the offense. Those are things we already knew. What did you learn that's new about Tennessee football and maybe some individual players on Saturday?
If we learn anything new, I think it would be about what you just said there at the end, the individual players. There's a linebacker, Shannon Reed, who has not really played much of a role at that position the last couple of years. He is a rising junior, and he had 10 tackles in the spring game, and you have to be careful with stats. But he's a guy that during the spring we had started to hear, well, pay attention to him here. And with Darren Kirkland Jr. unlikely to play for Tennessee this upcoming season, they need help at that position. And Quavaris Crouch is a newcomer who could help right away. And they have guys like Daniel Batuli and Will Ignat, who impressively played a little bit at linebacker with a non-contact jersey. I don't know that I've ever seen that before. But Shannon Reed is a guy to pay attention to. I think we learned that the talk about somebody like Jalen McCullough, another newcomer, is real. He had two interceptions against a true freshman quarterback. But he's a high school All-American that looks the part and I think will play a pretty big part in Tennessee's defense. And then that's maybe something else that we either learned or was solidified, is that newcomers are going to have to help. That's on the offensive line with Wanya Morris, and there's a chance Darnell Wright is starting very early this fall, and he's not even here yet. He'll be here this summer. That's because the offensive line still has a ways to go, and Jeremy Pruitt has said that. So I think everybody's on board with that opinion. So thoughts that were solidified, the offensive line still needs work. The offense itself does have some legitimate skill players with Josh Palmer rising at wide receiver. I think Jim Chaney likes the group that he has to work with. They just have to protect the quarterback, because if he goes down, if Tennessee has to replace Garantano again like it did several times last year, the Vols could be in really big trouble.
Josh, watch some of the spring game on the SEC Network, but what was the environment like at the stadium as far as fans, attendance, and just the overall feeling of the fan base coming out of the game? Is this a fan base that is feeling optimistic for year two under Jeremy Pruitt, or do they still have their questions and their doubts?
Well, I think questions and doubts are still there for sure, just because fans have gone through this so many different times and have experienced the early era optimism only to be let down with the last couple of coaches. So I think you're going to have some fans that go in reserved with reservations, but I think also as we go through the rest of this month and we really approach the summer months, July and August will really pick up the optimistic talk from Tennessee fans. I think they'll look at the schedule and say, hey, it's easier than a year ago. They'll look at Jerry Garantano and say, hey, fourth-year quarterback Jim Chaney, why can't we go win 8 or 9 games this season? And maybe they can. Right now, I think fans are still hearing the offensive line talk and understanding that it's going to take a little bit more time. But they like the coaching staff. They like having T. Martin back around UT. So long-term, they're finding plenty of things to feel excited about. The spring game atmosphere I thought was pretty good. It rained in the early part of the day, and I thought that could really potentially be a problem, but it stopped. Weather was nice, and Tennessee announced a little more than 50,000 fans were at the game, or at least 50,000 for an attendance number. It wasn't that high. It was probably more in the mid-30s, but I don't think that matters. Schools fudge numbers. Florida even kind of gave away its secret for how it fudges its own numbers. So I thought it was a good atmosphere for Tennessee, and fans, by the time we get to July and August, they will be back all in on trying to get Tennessee football some more wins.
Now, Josh, there's been a lot of talk about Rick Barnes and his truthfulness and obviously the spring game. But I think up here what's getting lost, and I don't know if it's getting lost there in Knoxville, is the hire of Kelly Harper. What has been the talk? Because, you know, this is – I think this program, more than any program, you know, needs a uplifting and needs it very quickly, considering where this program once was under Pat Summitt. What has been the talk with Kelly Harper now being the new women's basketball coach?
Yeah, it's really a good question, because the news from last week when she was announced and then they had the press conference, it really was just kind of slid in there, because you had the Rick Barnes UCLA news and then Grant Williams with his press conference that he had, and then here comes Kelly Harper's press conference. I think fans are, again, optimistic. I'll use that word again, but fans are hopeful that a Lady Vol can come back in and get the program back to a championship level. Kelly's done a really good job, I think, with the interviews that she's done. She's been on our station a couple of times talking about what it's going to take and also understanding what kind of job she's stepping into. I think she gets it. She saw Holly Warlick, who is her former coach as well. Holly was a former player and a big-time player at Tennessee and a longtime assistant under Pat Summitt, and it didn't work out for her, and she got fired, and Kelly knows that. And she described it as bittersweet walking in, but again, she knows what the expectations are. I don't think Kelly's walking in saying, hey, if I can get the Lady Vols to the Sweet 16, that everybody's going to be happy. I don't think everybody's going to be happy that follows Lady Vols basketball until they get back to the Final Four and they're competing for national championships. So she's going to have plenty of support, and I think fans are excited that a Lady Vol is in that position. But it's also the honeymoon period, and at some point fans are going to expect big-time results. And again, Kelly Harper knows that.
They kind of slid it in like a Friday dump. Like, you know, people dump something on Friday when they don't want you to talk about it, and they kind of slide it in, and hopefully this kind of goes away during the weekend.
Yeah, well, it really wasn't, oh, yeah, here's this, because it was also in the middle of the last week of spring football, so you had the other things I mentioned, plus football, spring game, and Tennessee was pushing a big marketing, you know, sale to try to get fans to the game. So, yeah, it really kind of came out of nowhere, but I do know this. Philip Vollmer was glad that he didn't have to turn around and go from the Kelly Harper search to a search for the men's basketball coach. So the happiest person last week was probably Tennessee's AD.
Josh, great stuff as always. We appreciate the time. Have a good weekend. We'll chat next week.
Hey, you too. Thanks, guys.
You got it. Josh Ward, WNML in Knoxville. We'll come back. live from the Omni Nashville Hotel inside of Kitchen Notes here on this Friday. And in my hand, Derek Mason, the Titans schedule. And we will go through each game. Now, yesterday we made the bet on the show. The over-under, according to Vegas wins, is 8.5. I am under at 8-8. You and Braden both go over 8.5. So you guys have at least 9, but I think both of you are thinking double-digit wins. We will go through it when we come back, and we'll see if you guys agree with how I've arrived at 8-8. This will be riveting radio.
Oh, man.
Stay there.
Wait.
We're coming back. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. .646. Welcome back into Kitchen Notes, Omni Nashville Hotel. It is Morning Drive. We're live this morning here on a Friday. ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Can I do something right quick?
No.
Oh, God.
Yes, come on. Come on, please.
What you
hey,
got?
Chase, back up just a little bit. Just back up a little bit, okay? Cut the music. I got to do my call because this is what Nick has called.
Now,
for.
You better pull that microphone about 8 inches away.
I'm going to pull it
God
back. I'm going to pull it back. Here we go, Chase. Here we go. For all the fans out there. There it is. That's the Morning Drive call, if you didn't know, Chase.
You do know that we want people to listen to the show, right?
Yeah, but they people are asking for it now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because a few people came up to me and was like,
you know
the
that
call,
guy.
Like the
really?
Call.
You mean you've talked to countless listeners?
I've talked to enough.
And countless listeners.
I did my own poll. Out of my poll, 100% of the people says, yes, they love the call.
And so like everybody else, when you say countless listeners, you really mean none.
No, I'm saying 100% of the people that I've talked to said they love the call. Polls are polls, right?
I don't believe that
you put a poll. And
not all polls are created equal.
I'm not,
but
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I trust that you've spoken to anyone about this.
I've spoken to people, and
who are these people?
And my poll says they like the call.
Have you ever?
I'm not going to say
when you use the phrase like, you know, I've talked to some people about this, and then somebody goes, well, who? Who have you talked to, or how
I've
many?
I've talked to countless former and
happens.
Current people.
Because really, when you say I've talked to people, it could only be just one person.
Just be careful when
that's
you use the
I
word
said,
countless. I'm just
that's
saying.
Why I said my poll, out of 100%, you know, the people I've polled, 100% of them say.
Which you still can't name
they
a single
love
person.
The call, the Morning Drive call. It is we have coined it the Morning Drive call.
Well, I mean, it's 2019. Facts are irrelevant.
Exactly.
These days.
Really.
Well, you don't need to have the truth.
Well, that's not true. It's coming back.
No, truth
is back in vogue
now. No, it's not.
Let me. I still want to know who this person is.
It's people, man.
I don't think you've talked to anybody.
I can't call these people out on the radio. They don't want.
Well,
that.
No, just use their first name.
No,
then.
I can't use their first name
because you're lying.
Because they're unique names and people would know them.
Oh, really?
Yes.
But you talked to Paprika, and Paprika said, "All right, I love that morning call."
See, people would know who she was, okay?
How do you know it's a she?
Talking to Alexa in your living room doesn't count.
Your two Alexa. Dogs, your two dogs come with their tails wagging.
They count.
When they show up wagging their tails when you do that call, that doesn't count.
Hey,
as
you
people.
Should look at the call screener.
Yes, before we get to the schedule,
God. Oh, God.
We are actually going to go to White House and welcome in Jeff. Now, is this a planted call, Derek Mason?
No, it's not a planted call. No, it's not. No.
Jeff, you're on Morning Drive. Go ahead, bud.
Hey, I just want to say, I think I speak for the entire city of Nashville when I say I love the morning call. That was great.
All right. See, we've spoken to person. There we go.
Yes, there we go.
All right.
Now, Jeff, can I ask why you like it? I mean, do you enjoy having your eardrums bleed?
Oh, Jeff. Mysteriously, he disconnects.
No, that wasn't me. That wasn't me. He disconnected.
Mysteriously, he's gone.
Look, no, he's just
right when we were getting braided. To the point of asking him why he likes the call.
You're talking semantics now.
Did you just, did you just call up and use your redneck voice? No, Jeff, listen, Jeff likes it. If Jeff,
I disappeared for a second.
We have now polled a person, and all the current and former people we've talked to now say that the call is a good thing, and so exactly. I am pro call now. You've changed my opinion, Jeff,
thank
in White
you.
House. If anyone else wants to call in and say how much they hate it, that will also be taken into consideration.
No.
If you're talking to former people, is Derek talking to the dead now? Is that what that means?
Current and former people. Countless of them.
Listen, Chase.
Yes, sir.
My thing is this. If I ask you, you don't give an answer, that means yes. Okay? So
that's usually how it is.
Exactly.
So what happens here at
it's
the
kinda
stoplight?
It's kind of like married life from what I hear.
Pretty much. When you're in a stoplight and you roll in the window and you're like, hey, you like the morning drive call? And they just look at you like.
Yeah, that's a yes.
And they just drive off?
That's a yes.
That's a yes.
Absolutely. I'm thinking that as a yes.
I think we have some errors and flaws or in the polling system here.
If they smile, that's a yes. I'm just telling you how I do it.
So you'll get calls applauding your rooster crow in the morning.
Yes.
I'll try to give wins and losses on the Titans schedule and get hate mail.
You know, it's your fault, Nick.
No, it's not. Well,
no, yes, it is. Because when you said we're going to make a drop of it, you the one.
I did.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We go.
And yeah. It's not really like a rooster. It's more of like a warbler.
Have you ever?
I don't really know what kind of bird it is, but it's not a chicken or it's not a rooster.
Hey, man, I like my car. It's the morning drive.
Like, even my 2-year-old knows what cock-a-doodle-doo is. That's the noise the rooster makes.
MDC.
Mm-hmm.
Morning drive call.
MDC.
You're like one of the lost boys from Neverland. It's unbelievable.
Give us your prediction.
Team Green
Absolutely. How did you come up with 8-8?
No, this is riveting stuff. I don't care. I'd rather know what the audience thinks of the call.
I would too, actually, to be honest. So I've got 8-8. I'll go through them real quickly. I'll give you one reason as to why I came to each game. Mm-hmm. You guys tell me, agree, disagree, whatever you want to do. Just if you want to embarrass me, that's fine.
Okay.
Week 1, win at Cleveland. You're catching them before all the new talent gels.
I agree.
I want to agree, but I'm scared that they're going to be – so fired up to get their season started that week one's a bad week. But like if you got them in week 2, 3, and 4, that your theory holds true. I'm worried about week one because it's like everyone's going to be so fired up to get on the field that maybe they play a great game. I don't know. But I could see the win for the Titans as well.
Colts in week 2 at home. Loss. You have never defeated Andrew Luck. I'll believe it when I see it.
And it never happened. It had never happened.
It will, in fact, happen at some point.
Well,
I don't know
Andrew
when that's going to be.
Like 90, and they're playing his son.
Well, listen, Andrew Luck can still hit that deep out route when he's 90. I wouldn't be surprised. Listen, it's going to happen. Like you physically cannot go through. I mean, I think Brett Favre famously went like 25-2 against the Lions or something like that. But even then, they had to lose a couple of times. Mm-hmm. So you have to lose eventually. That game actually feels like an opportunity. Because the Titans could be at their healthiest, and the Colts maybe the new pieces haven't got. You could make a case for the Titans to play well in that game because they played really well against the Colts the last time they met in Week 17, and they didn't even have Marcus. So it's a loss. I would go with a loss, but they are going to beat the Colts and Andrew Luck at some point. It will happen.
Okay, so 1-1, Week 3 at Jacksonville, Thursday Night Football. Give me a win. I love Nick Foles, but who is he going to throw to? And they own the Jaguars, much like the Colts own the Titans.
I think the Jaguars are either going to get the tight end out of Iowa, if he's around.
Which one?
Which he should be. Hawkinson?
Hawkinson.
Yeah, Hawkinson.
Well, there's TJ Hawkinson. And there's no
or fan. They're going to get DK Metcalf, which I don't particularly like in the first round, maybe in the second or third, yes. But I think they're going to get one of those pass catchers, and I predict that to be a loss. On the Tennessee Titans, but I think they'll win the later one, later on in the season.
I like the win because I'm not. You said we can make fun of you. I don't want to make fun of you. I don't understand outside of your Philly connections what is to like about Nick Foles outside of that one three game stretch. Well, but he had one good season under Chip Kelly like a decade ago, and then he had one 3-game stretch on a loaded. Nearly perfect Philadelphia Eagles roster.
But he's going back to his offensive coordinator.
He's literally never been good outside of the city of Philadelphia. So I just don't – why would you be able to go into a completely, you know, disorganized and discombobulated locker room and actually become a far better player? I'm not buying anything about Nick Foles.
Isn't he teaming up with his offensive coordinator?
Yes, John DeFilippo is there.
So I think that would be a big plus for him.
You're right. There's no question it's a positive. I got a W for the Titans because I just don't think Nick Foles is the answer.
Okay, as we wrap up the first quarter of the season, 3 of the 4 of which are on the road, the Falcons week 4, Titans go into that game 2-1. Falcons were ravaged by injury last year. I'll assume they're healthy going into week 4 in the dome. Too much offense, too many weapons. That's a loss for the Titans. I have them wrapping up the first month 2-2.
I don't know. I don't know about Atlanta's defense. Obviously, their offense is high power if everyone's healthy. But I think the Tennessee Titans play well when they play against Atlanta, going to Atlanta. I can see this being a situation where the Titans win this game, and they win it big. It's not even close. Wow. So I got the Titans winning that one.
So for some reason, I'm kind of with Derek on this. I can't explain why, but Atlanta just feels like such a finicky team.
Very true.
That you just don't know what you're going to get. You do know the offensive weapons, but we saw this coaching staff handle offensive teams very well last year in their first year. They dominated Tom Brady, for example. So that for some reason, that matchup doesn't scare me nearly as much as maybe it should. Defensively, they lost, like, what, their two starting safeties. They lost a corner. They lost everybody on injuries. So tell me how they're playing. If they're 3-0 or they're 2-1 and everything looks good for them, I would say Atlanta's a win there. But if you're telling me that, you know, they're the same team they were last year, then I think the Titans go down there and win. So that's a really interesting swing game and can really decide how we view this team in the first month is sort of that Atlanta game.
Okay, we will finish the final three quarters of the schedule next segment. We'll go through it as quick as we can. Also, some major national love for the Tennessee Titans from one talking head that I think is worth playing. But quickly, let's get a call because we have another individual who wants to weigh in on
individual two?
The call. So we're going to take a call on the call.
This is individual two then.
That is correct. Okay. Shane in Springfield, the call, your thoughts.
To quote Kevin Harvick from Sharknado 4 or 5, oh, hell no.
Yes.
It sounds like a bad Native American imitation from a spaghetti western.
That's
no,
a good point.
Please, no.
So it's split down the middle right now, which polls are typically split down the middle.
Polling is current 1-1.
Yeah, so I'm cool with that.
Individual 1 like you, individual 2 like us.
I love you, Derek, but, man, no.
Good call,
does
Shane.
Does it wake you up, Shane? I wonder, does it wake Shane up?
Yeah, or probably in all the worst ways.
Do I catch him early in the morning and he's getting on the highway?
He thinks John Wayne is going to come riding over the horizon in a horse.
So the Tennessee Titans are 2-2. The call is 1-1. We've accomplished nothing. We'll continue on with both after this. Morning Drive, Hour 2 next, ESPN 102.5 The Game.